turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Our text is the first half of verse 12. I want to read the first 12 verses in your hearing, stopping with our text, making that the final statement of the reading. So Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 12a. This is the Word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Amen. And we are. We are debtors. Every one of us. Every person under the sound of my voice is a debtor to God Almighty. Whether, according to this passage, you are in the flesh or in the Spirit, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, it makes no difference. You are a debtor to God. Now, when it comes to those two kinds of people, those that are in the flesh and those that are in the Spirit, the debt is of two very different kinds, isn't it? The unbeliever is indebted to God because of the volume and wickedness of his sin. He was created in the image of God in order to glorify God. He has not fulfilled the purpose for which he lives, and so he is a debtor. The Christian is indebted because God loved him, and the Son of God gave himself for him. The Christian is redeemed, bought with a price. The Christian has received infinite mercy, and therefore it is his reasonable service to present his body a living sacrifice. So the Christian is still a debtor, But it is not an indebtedness to a legal liability. It is an indebtedness of love and gratitude. Our text this morning, which is Romans 8:12a, which we come to on this morning when we are observing the Lord's table together, is clearly addressed to Christians. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. He reminds these brethren, these members of the family of God, these who have by grace come to know Christ's forgiveness. He reminds us that we are debtors. And that is a theme that is perfectly suited as we prepare for partaking of the Lord's Supper in a few moments. My theme is, brethren, we are debtors. And I want to divide that theme in half. Debtors formerly, debtors forever. Debtors formerly, and debtors forever. Brethren, we have always been debtors to God. It is the function of being creatures made by God that creatures are debtors. You live in God's creation. He made you. You did not make yourself. You are utterly dependent on Him for every moment of your existence. You breathe God's air. You drink God's water. You eat God's animals. You are utterly dependent on God. And in this creation, Jesus Christ has all authority. All things, including you, were made by Him and for Him. You exist for His pleasure. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all, so you are not your own. This indebtedness to your Creator is completely and absolutely unavoidable. It makes no difference whether you accept the indebtedness or not. It makes no difference whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. You are a debtor to God by virtue of your creation. He does not owe you. You owe Him. And no creature is exempted from this debt. Not even angels are exempted from it. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. These angels, they're not made in the image of God. They've never sinned. And still, they are indebted to serve the Lord and to praise the God who made them. Not even angels are exempted from this debt. So this debt is unavoidable for you as well. All of us are indebted to God by virtue of the fact that we are God's creatures and sustained by His bounty. But we all know that biblically, this indebtedness runs much deeper than our creatureliness. The essence of our former indebtedness, our indebtedness of the past, was our sin. Think for a moment of the enormity of the sin debt that you have accumulated before a holy God. You and I owe God our obedience. And who here would have the boldness to stand before the living God on that great day to come and to declare that you have kept all of His commandments? Every time you have failed to obey a requirement of God, you have accumulated a debt. Every time you have failed to do what He requires, you have accumulated a further debt. You and I owe Him our obedience. You and I owe Him our love. Jesus Himself said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. Have you paid Him that? Have you paid Him that debt? Measure the debt of love that you owe to Him, and you have not paid it. None of us have. You and I owe God honor. We exist for the pleasure and honor of God, our Creator, and you and I have robbed God of His glory by failing to give Him what rightfully belongs to Him. Every time we sin, we're robbing God of honor. Sin is a robbery of the sovereignty of God. It's an attempt to rob God of His place as the great lawgiver for His creation. It's the voice of, it's the language of, who made you to be king over me? It robs God of His sovereignty. Sin robs God of His all-sufficiency. Every prodigal who leaves his father's house says, in effect, it's better to be somewhere else. And that's what all of us have done every time we've sinned. We've said the grass is greener on the other side. Life's better outside Father's house. Life would be better if I were distant from Him. And we're robbing Him of His all-sufficiency. Sin challenges the justice of God. Because God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the sinner says, He won't require it. Sin denies the omniscience of God. It pretends as if God does not see. It pretends as if God does not know. Sin is an attempt to rob God of His wisdom, as if He does not know how to order the happiness of His creatures whom He made in His image. Sin denies God His character of power, because it is always in defiance of God. The language of sin is, He is not able to revenge His quarrel on me. The arm of His hand is withered and too short. He can't reach me. That's what the sinner says. Sin is a robbery of God's holiness. It acts as if God is like ourselves and as if He approves of our ways. Sin despises the riches of God's goodness. That's what Paul says in Romans 2. He says, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repent? Sin is contrary to and set against the whole glory of God. All that we should, all that we would give to Him. You and I are over our heads in debt. Our former indebtedness. How foolish it would be to think that we could reconcile this debt by our own works. Because every work that you do is something that is presently required of you. So how could your works make up for previous debts? And anyway, they're too few. And they're too tainted. And they're too imperfect. Our debt is infinite and we are finite. And consider this about that debt. It's all written down. There is a record of our trespasses. I can't begin to remember all of my personal trespasses. Can you? But they are written down. The world says time heals everything. Do you really think that a few years will pass and it won't matter to God anymore? There's a written record of the violations. Don't you think he'll make you accountable? And you think of that scene described in Revelation 20, when all mankind stands before Jesus Christ, and God opens up the books. And he starts judging people according to what is written down in those books. And I tell you, it will be an awful thing to have a page in one of those books that has your name at the top of it and every one of your trespasses written down, and now there's nothing you can do to alter the book, and there's no one to stand up in your defense. All of these unkept legal obligations that were yours as an image bearer of God living off of his creation, but you refused him all of your life because you wanted a little more sin and a little more time in the world. Okay, that's written down. It's written down. And you, outside of Christ, will give an account of those written debts accumulated before God. But brethren, those debts are canceled in Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. The gospel is that record, that written record. It can be expunged. It can be taken away. The page in the book with your name at the top, it can be cleared of all the debts and replaced with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that in Christ you can be utterly and entirely cleared of all of your former debts. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God credited Jesus with our sins and made Jesus legally responsible for those crimes and for those debts. And Jesus received in his infinite person the full weight of divine wrath and justice, and thereby he cleared away all of those debts. Justice ran its course on Christ, and he carried my sins away as far as the east is from the west, and that makes me a debtor forever. I was a debtor formerly. That debt has been completely cleared away. And now I am a debtor forever. I'm not a debtor in the sense that I have accumulated sin debt on my account. I am not a debtor in the sense that I am called upon to pay back this to God. I am not a debtor in the sense that he looks on me as a good for nothing that he had to bail out. That's not the sense. here's why I am a debtor to God forever. And our text says, brethren, we are debtors. It's because he cleared away my debt. And he did so freely. And he did so fully. Without demanding anything from me. And he completely forgave me. And he reconciled me to himself. And he made me rich, crediting me with the righteousness of Christ. That's why I'm not my own. I'm not my own because I've been bought with a price. So I owe him. I owe him my time. I owe him my health. I owe him my resources. I owe him my strength. I owe him my soul. I owe him my life. Not in the sense that I'm trying to repay him. That would ruin the whole thing. Not in the sense that I'm trying to repay him. Not in some legalistic relationship where I'm returning favors. You shouldn't think about obedience at like a mortgage payment, trying to pay back God month by month until you get the debt paid off. We are not debtors in that sense. We're not. We're debtors in the sense that we've been rescued from such misery. And having been rescued from that misery, we are obligated by love and by gratitude to serve him all of our days. Our service is not a repayment to God. It is the overflow of our joy in God. I'm a debtor to the Father. I am a debtor to the Father for his sovereign electing love, for his covenant of grace, for the unspeakable gift of his Son. I am indebted to the Father who hath delivered me from the kingdom of darkness and translated me to the kingdom of his dear Son, the Father who made me meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints and light. I'm a debtor to the Father. I'm a debtor to the Son who undertook and accomplished all that my salvation required. He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. He did what no amount of self-effort and works could ever do. He legally condemned my sins in his flesh. And he fulfilled the whole law, every righteous requirement of the law, in precept and in penalty. And I am a debtor to him forever. And I'm a debtor to the Holy Spirit who showed me my guilt, who led me to Christ, who sealed to me my pardon. He indwells me. He illuminates God's word to me. He convicts me of sin. He glorifies the Son to me, and if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also bring to life my dead body by that Spirit that dwells in me. I'm a debtor to God's sovereign grace, a debtor to God's mercy, and every day that I live, and he once again is faithful to forgive me and condescends to fellowship with me and gives me grace and strength, the grace and strength that I need to live the Christian life. Every day I happily incur more debt from him. Happily. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Now, how about you? There is no question that you are a debtor. It is absolutely unavoidable. Are you a debtor in the sense that you've been bought with a price? And in the sense of that verse from Psalm 116 last week, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Have you laid your sins on Jesus and trusted him to make you right with God? And therefore you are a debtor because you've been bought with a price, a debtor to love, a debtor to gratitude. Are you a debtor in the other sense? Unpaid legal liabilities before God. The record of your trespasses yet having been cleared. Because you keep refusing Christ's offer of pardon and mercy. The debt is unavoidable. So won't you come to Jesus Christ and become happily a debtor to his grace, a debtor to his mercy, because he paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Brethren, we are debtors. So let's sing of it. From our Trinity hymnals, there's a hymn written by Augustus Toplady, hymn number 99. And hymn number 99 is a hymn about being a debtor to mercy alone, covenant mercy. We sing. Let's stand together and let's joyfully acknowledge our indebtedness to Jesus Christ and his mercy. Hymn number 99 in the Trinity hymnal. Stand together as we sing.